Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a couple minutes, how do you introduce kids, the next generation, to God's Word? And also, how about disciplining children? Well, we'll talk about that with one of my heroes in a moment. But this one-minute news update, last week, the nation's leading Christian call-in talk show host on Salem Radio Network, Hugh Hewitt, had a devastating interview. He presented it as a positive interview with a guest, Glenn Reynolds, a Republican strategist, talking about the future of the Republican Party and conservatism 2.0 in America. And Hugh Hewitt actually allowed his guest, Glenn Reynolds, to suggest a change in the Christian conservative principles that we hold dear. And his guest, Glenn Reynolds, suggested that we give in on homosexual marriage. He thought that's one issue we could support, homosexual marriage, and let's focus on other things like economics and maybe Second Amendment rights. What a tragedy that Christian leaders are giving in on the fundamentals. Do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, don't bear false witness. Okay, we'll be talking about that next week as we have an audio clip from that program. I think you'll be fascinated. But right now, have you had the goal of training up a child, raising a child, and you want that child to grow up as a godly young man or woman? Have you had the desire to share God's Word with young people? Well, I want to introduce you to someone that we've never interviewed on this show in 17 years on the air, 50,000 watt AM station, but his books have gone out to hundreds of thousands of Christian families in this country and around the world. Michael Pearl, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Bob, good to talk to you. Where you been all these years?
I don't know, Michael. I tell you, we have been selling your little treasure, the book called To Train Up a Child, for some years here at Bob Inyart Live. And in fact, my wife Cheryl and I, we've raised seven boys between us, and this has been a treasure of biblical wisdom for how to bring up kids.
I just gave one away a while ago. I was talking to a man working on the bridge down here close to the house, and he told me he had three identical sons, 3.5 years old, and he
had
trouble with them.
Triplets.
And so I came up and got one of the books and took it down to him, knowing it'll help him out a whole lot.
Well, it sure will. And Michael Pearl, our church, I pastor Denver Bible Church. We have, this Sunday, we had, I think, 115 people at church, almost all homeschool. Couple of families send their kids to Christian school, and this book has gone through our church, family by family, and we enjoy the time we spend with our children as infants, toddlers, young kids, teenagers. It's so wonderful to spend time. We don't try to escape our kids the way I see in the tragedy of our modern culture. Parents and grandparents have a difficult time being with their own kids and grandkids.
Children should be our primary concern. If you're a parent, it's too late to decide what you're going to do in life. You have your job.
That's right.
And that's to communicate your culture, Christ, teach those young children to survive in the world and to live an abundant life. And When I first started having children, they were my plaything. They were my friends. I couldn't go fishing alone anymore, and when they got big enough, I couldn't take a buddy. I had to take one or two or three or every one of them. And so they became my life. And there was nothing more important to me than to equip my children to win in the world that they live in. And they're all grown now. They're all married. They all have children of their own. I've got 14 grandkids born the way.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of Jeremiah right now. Michael Pearl, it seems that you're the current world champion for internationally for knife throwing. Is that true? Do I have that straight?
Well, there are several different championships. The actual world champion professional knife throwing was won by someone else this year. I won the Gold Cup, which is a harder throw and said to be the undisputed best knife thrower of 2008 worldwide. Also won the world champion long distance throw at 63 feet. I stuck a bullseye, 4-inch bullseye, and then I won the silhouette throw and I won the world champion tomahawk throw.
Yeah.
So I took four world championships this year and set two records.
It's just astounding. That's at the International Knife Throwers Hall of Fame website. And, in fact, your daughter, Shoshana, and grandson, Jeremiah, are pictured there with you. Jeremiah has a fistful of ribbons he's holding.
When Jeremiah comes over to the house, he wants to go out to my throwing room. I've got a shop with about a 40-foot-long path there where I can throw from different distances, and he's got his own set of knives that he throws, and he's really developed an arm for it. He's going to be quite a thrower.
Yeah, that's exciting. Okay, so you don't only write best-selling books to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to our kids, but, Michael, if we could focus on that, that's what you've been doing for a long time now. Your ministry, No Greater Joy, has helped hundreds of thousands of families. In fact, this book, I'm holding it right here, and we'll get to good and evil in a moment, but this is to train up a child. And talking to your general manager yesterday, he said the numbers are up to, I think it's over 600,000 copies.
That's in English.
That's in English, to teach people how to train your child. And it doesn't involve punishment, as so many people think. You've got to punish your child every moment. This is training them in a biblical approach to raising godly and pleasant young men and women.
Yeah, most parents wait until their children act contrary to their will, and then they tie into them and either scream at them or holler at them or nag them or gripe them or start spanking on them.
Hmm.
And that can become emotionally and physically abusive. What we need to do is anticipate the kind of behavior we expect from our children,
mm-hmm.
and create an environment where we can culture those actions. And then if we see habits developing that are going to lead to rebellion, if we see that happening, then what we need to do is create proper structure that will prevent that from occurring. And if it does occur, and it eventually will, there'll be times when you'll have a two-year-old that'll just sit down the floor and start to throw a fit.
Right.
And when that happens, then you have to move in and exercise your authority like a policeman would or a judge. And you have to take charge and demonstrate that you're in authority. And sometimes that does involve spanking. But spanking should not be something that we rely upon. In other words, it's a statement of our failure to train when we have to spank. It's a statement of...
First you train, right.
Yeah, it's a statement of having not been faithful in training.
Mm.
And so it's not, in itself, it's not part of the training. We should, if we have to spank, then we need to ask ourselves a question. Where did I fail?
Mm.
And we need to get back to being busy, loving, living, enjoying the child, and providing the proper structure to motivate them.
Mm. Now, as we raise our children, we've taught them, for example, I'll give one example, don't be a crybaby. When things go wrong, don't cry. You're allowed to cry if you get hurt or if someone else gets hurt, but you can't cry for other reasons, like if you lose a game or you can't play a game. And our boys, they learn that very readily, very early, and we see other kids, you know, in the neighborhood, at the YMCA, wherever, who will cry in front of others and friends if they can't play a game at a given moment. And we estimate that our kids have been saved hundreds of hours of crying during their childhood when they've been enjoying themselves rather than being miserable.
Yeah, we never actually had that happen. I think if you keep children busy being successful at life, then they will accept failure. It's when they fail so often, so frequently, and don't have a sense of accomplishment as individuals, that failure becomes such a tragedy to them that it disappoints them.
Hmm. All right, so Michael Pearl, author with his wife Debbie of To Train Up a Child. I'd like to, I've been mentioning good and evil, but first, before that, your wife's book, Created to Be His Helpmeet, today we might say helpmate, but go back to King James English, Created to Be His Helpmeet. Michael, at our church, Denver Bible Church, the women of the church meet once a week, and they're going through this book. Daniel Kakoa is leading a women's Bible study, and from all accounts, the moms, the wives of Denver Bible Church are just thrilled to have this tool to study and fellowship together how to be a godly woman, wife, and mother.
It's been miraculous, the results. Of course, my wife trained me first,
right.
And that was a big job. And then I encouraged her to put into print the things that she had endured and learned, and she did. And we receive hundreds and thousands of letters. We go out on seminars, and people come up to us, and a woman will say, "I actually left my husband. We were in the process of divorce. I got your book, read it. I hated it. Put it away. I picked it up again a week later. I read it, and it changed my whole attitude about marriage, about myself, about God, and it restored my marriage. My husband and I are back together, and he said it's better than the first time around. It's like having a honeymoon all over again." Mm. And, I mean, we have literally had thousands of people come to us with that message.
Yeah, and my wife, Cheryl, she read this book and is very thankful to Debbie, to the Pearls, for your ministry. And so I want to thank you also, Michael. We're happily married, but it's amazing the insights that God will let us share with one another when we're willing to honor Him and take His word seriously, as you guys do. Now, how about good and evil? By the way, the Created to His Helpmeet has now gone out to over 300,000 families. You said Train Up a Child, the English language version, was at 600,000. You're translating these works into other languages, is that right?
Yes, yes. It's been in languages like German and French and Russian for years, and it's gone into many others, and, you know, I don't even know which ones. I hear about them from time to time, but I don't keep up with it. That's someone else's job here
sure.
in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Spanish. It's in Spanish, too.
And this good and evil, taking the Bible to a format that children are fascinated with, it's like a comic book. And this, I know, has been going out in many languages. But could you tell us, Michael Pearl, about good and evil? Our boys, we have, let's see, a 9-year-old, an 11-year-old, who have turned our copy into a dog-eared copy. It's well-worn. I'm holding it here in my hands.
It just came out in full color. We have the full color, 310 pages, comic book size, perfect bound. Let's put it this way. You can take this book and walk up to a 14, 15-year-old blue and green-haired kid with nipple rings
right.
and a bone through their tongue
right.
and hand them one of these Bible story books.
Yeah.
They will flip it open, catch a picture of this artwork, Marvel comic book quality artwork.
Yeah, the artwork is tremendous.
And they will say, "Oh, man, cool, like, thank you, oh, yeah." And you come back an hour later, and they're sitting there reading that thing. We put it in 1,000 prisons across America. Sing Sing got a letter the other day. Man said he'd been born again. He'd been through a lot of different programs, but when he read through the Good and Evil, he understood the gospel for the first time and was saved. Got an email from a missionary in Cambodia. It's in Cambodian language, and he had traveled across a ferry, giving them out, and he gave one to an old couple, and he asked them, have you heard about Jesus? And they said, back in 1960, someone told us about him, but we didn't find out much. I'd like to know more. So he went on to a village and gave out a couple boxes that he was carrying of these, and he came back through late that evening, and they wouldn't take his money. They'd been reading it, and they were excited and thrilled to discover a complete work describing Christ from beginning to end. You know, the way this arose, Bob, was my daughter was a missionary in Papua New Guinea on top of a mountain about 14 years ago, and it was a tribe of people who'd never had outsiders, and they were limited number of them. Their language was disappearing. The younger people were learning the trade language, and the old language didn't seem to be giving them any help. And so they were losing their language, and she wanted to translate the scripture, but she realized that by the time she got it translated, Very few of them would be reading it, and many of them wouldn't even be speaking it anymore.
Michael Pearl, we mentioned your daughter Shoshana earlier. This is Rebecca.
This is Rebecca, the oldest daughter. And so the idea of producing a picture Bible story that would start in Genesis and take a person chronologically through God's revelation, going from creation to God's judgments, Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham, faith, sacrifice, the law, cursing and blessing under the law, the judgments of God, of course the tabernacle and the sacrifices in the temple, and then God's promises of faithfulness to Israel, or his promises of judgment, his judgment upon them in their captivity, and then the prophecies of Christ, and then the second half begins in the New Testament and goes through the life of Christ, his crucifixion, resurrection. And then we go into the book of Acts and deal a little bit with that and the early church. Then we go into church history and finally come down to the present. And the last chapter is a story, a modern story of a person in India receiving one of these books, one of these very books, and responding and trusting Christ and being baptized and then being martyred.
Michael, as you're describing the book, the flow of the book, I've been paging through it here in the studio. And when you said that this is the quality of Marvel Comics, not only is it the quality, but you put out the word that the body of Christ needed a professional artist, first-class artist, to help with this project. And a Marvel Comics artist became a Christian, a born-again Christian, trusted in Jesus Christ, and he worked with you on this project.
Yes. I did the initial quick sketch and wrote it, and then I sent it to him, and he did the inking of each page, and he sent that to us, and then we had to hire someone to do the grayscaling.
That was Danny Bulinati.
Uh-huh. And then we, from the grayscaling, we had to find out and discover and get programs to do the bubbles and put the text in, and then we started the color process and had to hire six more highly professional artists to do the color. It cost us several hundred thousands of dollars to produce this thing, but our goal was to have a book second to none. Nothing secular or religious would compare in quality to it. And that's what we produced. It is the highest quality graphic artwork that you'll ever see, and it's the kind that captures everyone's attention very quickly.
Now we have, my producer has a new copy, the color version, and Michael Pearl, I have a problem. She has two young children, and I can't get the color copy from her, so we're going to have to go out on the internet and order one for our own family.
Well, I'll have Chuck here send you one. Chuck, you got that? You send him a color copy.
Well, that was nice of you, Michael. I wasn't fishing for a copy. No, I'm happy to support your ministry, as we long have. But this here, there is no question that young people who are fascinated by video games and the internet and cable TV, young people immediately have an interest in the presentation of God's Word in this format. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's obvious millions of young people around the world will be interested, but not only young people, adults too. Adults read the comics.
We got a letter the other day from a pastor in Africa. He said he'd been preaching for 50 years, so must have been an old man. And he said that he got a hold of one of these. Someone gave him a copy in his language, and he said for the first time in his life, he understood the Bible as a whole. You see, the approach we've used here was employed by the Southern Baptists and New Tribes Missions working together, and they developed the concept of presenting the gospel chronologically as God unfolded it, not starting with Christ, but starting in Genesis with the Creator and then going to the law. And finally, after people are thoroughly acquainted, as the Jews were, with who God is, as understood through the stories in the Old Testament, and understood the law and condemnation and judgment, then finally presenting Christ. So that's what we've done here. We've picked out those stories that are essential to communicating the overall biblical philosophy and biblical message. We skipped David and Goliath, We skipped some of the stories that you get in children's Bible story books. This is an adult Bible story book that children love.
Let me give the audience an example of that. In the story of the fall of Adam and Eve, Michael Pearl, you point out that when God clothed Adam and Eve after they sinned, that animals were killed instead of them. Eve says that God killed the animals instead of us, and they were clothed. And this points forward to the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ that would come thousands of years later.
Yes, all through it we prepare. For instance, in the book of Romans, Romans is built on the Old Testament stories. In Romans, he talks about Abraham being having righteousness imputed to him by faith.
Right, before he was circumcised.
So what we do is when we teach Abraham there in the Old Testament, we show, we give people an understanding of imputed righteousness and of what it means to believe. So when they finally come to Christ and we present faith, they understand it in the context of these Old Testament stories.
And that's exactly what God intends. The Apostle Paul wrote that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for our theology. So you go to the Old Testament and get the foundation. Where did we come from? Why is there sin in the world? Why do I have a tendency to give in to temptation? And what does God do to show His love for us? Of course, He sent His only Son. So now this comic book version of teaching God's Word to young people, this is also being translated into other languages. You mentioned Chuck Joyner. I think he said that, is it already in a dozen languages? Do you know if that could be true, Michael?
It's already in more than a dozen. It's already been published and distributed in a number of languages, like Burmese and Sawano and Chinese and Hmong and Karim and Khmer and Lao and Spanish and Thai and Ukrainian and Mongolian and on and on. And what we did, like I said, our purpose was to make the gospel known to the whole world. And so as soon as we got it finished, we contracted a missionary that is he's a businessman, very worldly wise, and we put him in Thailand and opened up a translation house. He hired some Thai nationals who are good with computers and Christians, and then some volunteers from the States, and they immediately started the procured translators in about 100 languages.
Oh my!
And so many of those languages are finished and printed and distributed. Others are being printed for the second time, and then some of them, I've got a list here in front of me, are 90% complete, 85%, 70%, and on. And so I think we fell short of 100 goal. Some people fell to the wayside. We got about 73. They're in progress somewhere, and all that's taking place in a little less than 2 years.
Oh, my. And so do you have some idea? I'm sorry to focus on numbers, but it's fascinating to me because each one of these publications goes out to a family, an individual, a child, a wife, a husband, who are learning the principles of God's Word. Any idea how many people received this Good and Evil so far in the black and white edition?
Well, I haven't kept up with a number. That would be several hundred thousand. But when you, for instance, a missionary the other day went on the border, Burma was briefly opened up. It is resistant to the gospel. And he had a couple boxes of them, and he stood right there at the crossing and gave them to people who then stuck them in their gear and were able to get through some nationals. And so that goes inside of a closed country. Laos is another country. We printed thousands for Laos and stored them in Thailand. And when nationals come over, they're given as many as they can smuggle back in. And then they carry them in and carry them back to their villages or wherever they live. And there they're read by, you know, one book can go into a village, and eventually everyone, 200-300 people in that village will read that book.
Wow.
If they can't read, someone will read it to them. Or And then they'll sit down and look at the color, at the pictures, and remember the story. We sent a man to the Philippines recently. I ministered in prisons, and this prisoner got saved. And he got married, and he went to the Philippines on a personal trip, got involved in the ministry there, going in the prisons. And he bought a fishing boat eventually, a big fishing boat where you hire people to go out. And his goal is to put one on every fishing boat in the Philippines. It's about like 15,000, 20,000. He said, if you do that, you'll reach every person in the Philippines because everyone has somebody that works in the fishing industry. Mm. And when a boat goes out for 3 months, there's 3 or 4 months, there's, I think, about 17 people on it. Every one of them will read that over and over again.
Wow.
And then one of them is going to take it home and take it back to his family. And again, it's going to be a little missionary that never gets malaria, a little missionary you don't have to feed, doesn't have to come home to have a baby. It's a little missionary that just stays right there in the homes and continues to yield its message. This has been distributed in Chinese. It's been distributed in Russian. We've got it printed, and we've got it translated into Arabic. And we're going to be putting it on Arabic websites free for them to completely download it and view it. We don't sell these to these people in these foreign countries. We're giving things away, but we're getting a lot of requests from public, from secular printers and distributors in foreign countries who are wanting to print 40, 50,000 copies of it and market them in the public market in their country. So we're doing that too. We're taking like a 50-cent royalty and allowing foreign markets to print it. So it's a lot bigger than just what we can print and distribute. Mm-hmm. It's really hitting the main market.
And Michael Pearl, that's what I was hoping to do, give the audience an idea of how the gospel is flowing out from, you guys are located in Pleasantville, Tennessee, is that right?
Well, that's our address, but if you went to Pleasantville, Tennessee, you'd find one store, and that's all. It's not very often open, and we're several miles from there. NoGreaterJoy.org is our website where you can learn all about what we do.
Mm-hmm. NoGreaterJoy.org.
And you know, if a church wants to adopt a language, so you're working in Swahili, you can adopt that language and help pay for that being translated, it hadn't been finished yet, and then you can pay for the printing. And in fact, we don't even need to handle the money. Mm. We will make the files available for it to be printed in that language by your missionary.
Wow.
And distributed.
All right, Michael Pearl, I want to thank you so much for joining us, me and the audience here at Bob and Yurt Live. We pray God's blessings on you, your family, your wife, and your continued ministry as you guys serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Come see us at nogreaterjoy.org.
All right. I appreciate that. And that website, that was Michael Pearl, author of To Train Up a Child with his wife, Debbie Pearl, and, of course, author of Good and Evil, this extraordinary presentation of God's Word, especially for young people in a comic strip version. It's just tremendous. And their website, nogreaterjoy.org, nogreaterjoy.org, and in Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school, and KGOV, KGOV.com.